Live from the KSRM studios on K Beach Road, KSRM 920 AM and 92.5 FM presents Decision 2022. Tonight, we feature the candidates for Kenai City Mayor. You'll hear their opinions on the issues that matter to you. And now, here's your host for tonight's forum, Anthony Moore.
And welcome back to KSRM 920 AM, also on 92.5 FM, on the go with the mobile app and also broadcasting online at RadioKenai.com. I am Anthony Moore, and we are moving on to the race for Kenai City Mayor. And same rules apply, but let me just reiterate the same rules at the beginning of this one as I did last one. There's going to be a two-minute opening statement. Then we're going to have a question and answer portion. The candidates will have a maximum time of 2 minutes to introduce themselves. I will be keeping score. The introduction will be followed by a series of questions provided by me, the KSR News Department. Each candidate will have a maximum time of 90 seconds to respond with each question. I'm going to be keeping time on my phone, and obviously if you go over 90 seconds, I try to be pretty lenient here, but if you go too far off of 90 seconds, I'll just cut you off. I will also alternate asking each candidate questions first. The forum itself focuses on issues impacting our area and our state, and in this particular case, the city of Kenai. And I will ask that you respect the format of the forum, answer questions accordingly, avoid personal attacks on the opposing candidates. And again, if you did not hear me mention at the beginning of last hour's forum, we are not taking phone calls. So I just want to make that overwhelmingly clear. We are not taking phone calls. And for the benefit of the listening audience and for those in studio, we are also going to have an archive of this on our website at RadioKenai.com, so you can go back and listen to when this is over. And lastly, each candidate will be given a minute close at the end of the hour. So let us get to our, I should probably introduce our candidates first. This is for the race for Kenai City Mayor. It is a 3-year term, one to be elected, also again to be decided at the municipal elections on Tuesday, October the 4th. We have incumbent Kenai City Mayor Brian Gabriel and challenger Tia Winger. 2-minute opening statement. We'll start with Mayor Gabriel, please.
Thank you, Anthony. I appreciate the opportunity to be here, and thank KSRM for hosting. More of an introduction. My family moved to the Central Peninsula when I was 7 years old in 1968. We moved to Kisilov. There were 9 kids in our family at that time. We lived out there for a couple years, which was totally, in 1968, was homestead living, let's just say. But it was a great place to spend that childhood. And then we moved to Gaswell Road, and my parents had 3 more. So we had 12 kids in our family total. attended local schools here. I met meet my wife, Lisa, in high school. We've been married for 39 years and raised our 3 children here in Kenai. I've got 6 grandchildren, 3 of which live here on the peninsula. I enjoy watching them in Kenai, grow up in Kenai. And I think this is the best place to live, work, and play. And I ran originally for Kenai City Council in 2010, got elected for 2 3-year terms, then ran for mayor in 2016. And my purpose for serving, I consider myself a servant leader. I don't do it for myself. I look to serve the members of the community. I've been community-minded. I coached hockey for 16 years, youth hockey. Was involved with the many organizations here. And what I want to see moving forward for the city is this growth and opportunity for young, especially young families, to be able to raise their kids here and have economic opportunities for work, and then also recreational opportunities for play. Very well-rounded. There's a lot of things that go into that to make that happen, and I just wish to continue that for another 3 years.
And 2-minute opening statement, Tia Winger.
Thank you very much for having me and for hosting us today. My name is Tia Winger. I was born and raised in my family home in Kenai, which was the first modern home of Kenai, built by my grandmother and grandfather by hand, Peggy and Lyman McBride, who raised their family there. I was blessed to born and raised there, and I am raising my 3 children there. I married Ron Winger. We are both graduates in the area. He graduated in 2001 from Skyview High School. I graduated in 2002 from Kenai Central High School. I went to KPC for a year to pursue a degree in business. I ended up dropping out because I opened my own restaurant, and I ran a successful restaurant for 4 years. Very familiar with the small business atmosphere in this community, as well as the leases that we see within the city, as my restaurant was in the Kenai Airport. I've been very involved in our community for many years. I served on the youth court through high school. I've played sports. I have been a staple with volunteering with the Boys and Girls Club. I've ran their athletic program for many different intervenes between directors. I have one of my biggest passions is disaster preparedness, and I got involved with the CERT program. And through my community volunteering with that, I became an instructor and had the chance to go around communities, just getting everyone prepared for a disaster. It was one of my favorite things I've got to do and include my children in. And right now I've served as PTA president. Right now I'm on the Kenai Elks Lodge House Committee. I'm a firm believer in see a need, fill a need in my community. I stand for the people, with the people. I represent them. I want this to be a community that gets our children to stick around on a long term. And I just thank you for this opportunity.
Let us get into some of the issues pertaining the city of Kenai. We'll start with Tia for this question here. Obviously, for those that are just tuning in and for those that didn't hear the news and those that didn't read online, one of the stories that broke earlier today is the fact that city manager Paul Ostrander, once his contract is over in January of 2023, is going to be leaving the city of Kenai. And I actually had several questions pertaining to that, but I had to sort of modify and amend those because now he's leaving. So with that being said, that's kind of the biggest story as of right now. So with Kenai being a city manager type government, how satisfied are you with our soon to be former city manager, Paul Ostrander? 90 seconds, T. Winger.
Thank you very much. I appreciate Mr. Ostrander's service to our community over the last set of years, his work on the Bluff Stabilization Program. I look forward to the changes that are going to happen in the administration. We have some amazing people that have acted as interim manager over the years. I would really encourage and like to see some of them put their name in for that. I believe we're going to attract a real strong individual that will help continue to complete the Bluff Stabilization Project, as well as move us into the next wave of what we can expect in development in the city of Kenai.
Same question, Brian Gabriel. With Kenai being a city manager type government, how satisfied are you with our soon to be former city mayor, Paul Ostrander?
City manager.
Good Lord.
Yeah. Thank you, Anthony. Well, first of all, as you've mentioned, we have a city manager form of government. So what that means is that council sets policy for administration. If you look at it as terms of maybe business aspect, Paul Ostrander would be the CEO of the corporation. We'd be the board of directors as the council. So we set policy and make sure he kind of works within that policy. That being said, I think Paul did an outstanding job for his tenure here, 6 years at the city. And one of the things I really appreciated about Paul was he worked well with his department head. He had administration experience before he came here, worked very well with his department heads to get them to work as a team. And that's what's so important, is you have to be able to have a person who works to people's strong points, and that's what they bring to the table. I think Paul did an excellent job with that. During the budget process, he was one that would introduce the concept of having our department heads come to the budget work session and deliver their budgets personally. So it was our chance to interact with those department heads. They set goals, they monitored those goals. They set, standards, and then they could go back to the year before of what goals were set, what was met, what wasn't met. So there was accountability throughout the process. But within that, you saw forward thinking too. And that was what I think was one of Paul's strong suits, was that he always looked forward to what makes the city better tomorrow than it is today.
So let's stay with the subject of city manager, and this is kind of a three-pronged question here, and again, 90 seconds for answer. What is your position on the process for replacing the city manager, the role of the mayor to lead that, and what is it that you specifically look for in this case, replacing Paul Ostrander? 90 seconds, Brian Gabriel.
Okay, very good. So we started that process already. I've reached out to our human resources director and also our city clerk to determine, you know, a roadmap moving forward. And one of the things we'll do, we'll have a discussion item on our next agenda, council agenda, to determine from the body how we want to proceed. So that's sort of the first step, is getting the ball rolling, because this is going to be that's a very important role in our city, and we need to make sure that we get that going so we have a nice transition time between the current city manager and who we hire. So the mayor's job would be to, you know, help facilitate that once we set the roadmap and do the recruitment and get our candidates lined up. We'll probably look at first at maybe looking in-house and then see how that goes. And what I like to see in a city manager, some of the qualities I just mentioned for Paul, that someone that gets their team, their members to work as a team. And it's so important that everybody works their strong suit to make sure that we have our city moving forward. And a good communicator, someone that brings issues to council, that's important, that we have council up to date, up to speed daily on, not necessarily daily, but on certainly on important issues that come forward. And then outreach to what's going on with the legislature. We need to know things that are going on in the legislature that will impact the city and be out ahead of that. So there's a lot of qualities, but generally a good communicator, good leader, and someone works well with people that will build relationships.
Again, a three-pronged question I'll ask again for the benefit of the listening and the studio audience here. Tia Winger, what is your position on the process for replacing city manager Paul Ostrander? What is the role of the mayor? Is it the role of the mayor to lead? And what is it that you look for in a city manager? 90 seconds, please.
Thank you very much. So I know there's going to be a process set in place. This is not the first city manager that we've had leave our city. Previous, we had Mr. Cook, who had left our city. So we do have a process, and I would be working with our HR, our clerk, and our attorney through that process. As far as the role of a mayor, you know, the mayor has the equal voice and vote on the body of council. So we're going to be just coming together and setting a schedule or when those interviews will take place. And what I really would like to see in our upcoming administration is transparency, communication, making sure that there's a monthly report. I'd also would like to see where he stands on our capital project list and moving those projects along so that they're being completed on time, and having strong relationships with other people, bodies in our community, such as KNITESI, Love Inc., the Salvation Army. There's so much benefits there. Office of Emergency Management, as we're looking at continuing into our disaster planning and spruce bark beetle mitigation, having good, strong relationships and ties. The Kenai River Center, having good relationships, that's going to play into our bluff project, as well as our waterfront revitalization project. Those strong ties. And having strong ties with our leaders, our Senate, our House, our school board representative, our borough assembly members, those relationships is what's going to benefit our city going forward. And I really want to make sure that that's going to be a focus.
And this is KSRM 920 AM. If you're just tuning in, this is the KSRM Candidate Forum. The race we're focusing on this hour is Kenai City Mayor. It is a three-year term, one to be elected, and we're joined in studio by incumbent Mayor Brian Gabriel and challenger Tia Winger. And let's talk about other issues pertaining to the city of Kenai, not just city manager. So getting members of the public involved in the decision-making process is extremely important. So how do you plan to involve city residents in that decision-making process? 90 seconds, Tia Winger.
Thank you very much for that question. You know, being engaged with the public out in the community, letting people know what issues are coming forth, if there's something that a business needs to know, going to those businesses and saying, hey, we need your feedback. when it comes to development in our city, working with real estate agents and developers so that we can understand what the climate's going to be, what their needs are going to be, so that we can address those.
Same question, Brian Gabriel. Getting members of the public involved in the decision-making process is extremely important. How do you plan to involve city residents in that process? 90 seconds, please.
Well, certainly doing outreach. All of our meetings are online. People can, there is public notice that folks can get online and be part of that awareness of what we have coming up. I know it seems to me when we have items before us, a lot of times it's items that specifically affect a certain group that they kind of all show up and might voice their either opposition or support for a certain item we have. Like I would certainly say, like most recently, the Boys and Girls Club land donation, where I've been on council for 12 years, and we had probably more people there than I've ever seen fill our chambers, mostly in support of a land donation to Boys and Girls Club so that they can build out their campus in Soldotna. I mean, in Kenai, rather, and not Soldotna, but have a roughly over $10 million capital investment into a campus. So that being said, those are the types of things that, you know, we'll get out there to the public. And then also letting them know, people sometimes are just nervous about coming and testifying before the body, and I get that. I don't consider myself a very good public speaker. Sometimes I struggle with that. So I get that. We do have the ability for folks to do written comments if they want to reach out to council. They can do that through the clerk's office, or they can just simply go online, get all the email addresses for the council, and certainly make those voices known in writing of where they stand on a particular issue.
So let's talk about capital projects and things happening in the city of Kenai. What is the city of Kenai getting from the Infrastructure Investment and Jobs Act? Did you apply for and suggest any projects that the infrastructure money is going to go for? 90 seconds, Mayor Gabriel.
Well, we're still working through that process. As you know, there's monies available, but there's a process to go to get through there to get the grant awards. So we're still working through the process to make sure that we are positioned to apply for those grants. Certainly the bluff erosion project, we received $28 million through a federal appropriation, which is really what's going to kickstart this, the bluff erosion project. And that was done through Senator Murkowski's office. In addition to that, and for folks that don't know how the bluff erosion project is structured, we have a local cost share of 35%. And what we were able to do, in addition to that, Mr. Osher and I went down to the Juneau this year because we had the Governor Dunleavy had appropriated included $6.5 million in the general obligation bond package that he was proposing. We got down to Juneau and realized pretty quickly that probably was not going to get out of the legislature. So pivoted and worked to get that put into the capital projects I'm happy to say that we were one of the few municipalities that were able to, you know, convert some of that GO request into an actual capital budget, which is going to be a big portion towards our 35%. So we've got the plans in place. We're looking forward to getting this thing off the ground maybe as soon as next year.
Same question, Tia Winger. What is the city of Kenai getting from the Infrastructure Investment and Jobs Act? Did you apply for and suggest any projects that the infrastructure money is going to go for?
Well, as you know, we have a position within the city of Kenai as a grant writer. So we've consistently asked that we are pursuing all options for any money that we can pursue for our city. We have a $100 million capital project list for the next 5 years. That's going to encompass roads. We've heard previously from Alex Dothit in the last hour about Wildwood Drive. We've got Wildwood Drive that was capital project for last year. We're $600,000 short on that project, and that's what we need to be making sure we're pursuing these grant money for so that we're completing these projects and we're completing them on time. We have other roads that need, you know, heavy maintenance, replacement, crack sealing. We have water mains that are going to have to be looked at. We've got lights that either don't work or work all year, all day long. So just in the end, we've got to be pursuing these grant funds to make up that our budget for our capital projects.
So let's talk, this was brought up by Mayor Gabriel here. Let's talk a little bit about the bluff erosion. This is going to be sort of a follow-up to that and sort of an addition on to that. And so the bluff erosion, aside from the money put aside for the project currently going on, what can be done to help fix the problem? We'll start with Tia Winger.
You know, just continuing to pursue the funding that we were able to secure as a city to get this project going. This has been an ongoing, long talked out project. I mean, it's been talked about for 40 years. We've studied it. We've restudied it. We've studied it again. We have some of the best looking at this from the Army Corps of Engineers. I think in the end is there, it's going to be questions of when this project's going to be complete is how much of a slump are we going to see when that does fall off and start to slump? Where is that going to end at our senior center? Is it going to be in the dining room? Is it going to be at the back door? Is it going to be at the front door? So even as this project continues, we're going to have a lot of unknowns when that project's completed till things start to slump, and then we'll be able to continue to look at this.
Same question, Brian Gabriel, a follow-up to your previous answer. The bluff erosion, it's been on the minds of residents for years. And aside from the money already being put aside for the project, what can be done to help fix the problem?
Okay, so first of all, I can't talk. I can't help but get excited when I talk about the bluff erosion project because this is, I believe, the closest I can peg about a 35-year number one capital priority project for the city. And so we've got money appropriated. And just so you know, I mean, we've already spent money relocating utilities that are being impacted by the erosion right now. So what we need to do, there's a couple more property acquisitions that we need to do. We got most of those complete. We've got the design in HDL. We forward funded that. That was part of our cost share, about $1 million. We're hoping to have those construction documents done soon. Once those are done, we can go out, put a out to bid. And once that happens, then of course, you know, we can break ground and move forward on this. So then the design is simply, you know, to basically pile rock, do the rock stabilization at the toe of the bluff, let the slope of the bluff reach its natural angle of repose, and then it'll stabilize and hopefully grow and vegetate after that. So once that happens, this is the exciting part for me. Once that happens, then we can see maybe a little more investment in Kenai. In that part of Kenai, it is a crown jewel. It's a lot of our view property there. And so when we get, I remember the old Harvard View restaurant. It was a place that my wife and I used to go for prom and homecoming special occasions. That's not there anymore. So what we need to do is make sure this stays on track and gets done. And hopefully by this year, we'll be started on it.
And this is KSRM 920 AM, and you are listening to the Kenai City Mayor election candidate forum that we're having here. We're also broadcasting online through our website at radiokenai.com. A simple reminder, we're going to be interrupted shortly for the ABC news break, and then we'll continue the second half of the 5 p.m. hours election candidate forum. We're also going to be having election candidate forums on the radio, specifically on Thursday. And Thursday at 4 p.m. and Thursday at 5 p.m. We're going to be focusing Thursday on the Kenai Peninsula Borough Assembly races. 4 p.m. is the Nikiski race. 5 p.m. is the Soldotna race. That's going to be coming up on Thursday. And that's going to be 2 days from now. This is KSRM, and we're going to be interrupted by ABC News. We'll be back right after this.
Welcome back to KSRM's coverage of Decision 2022 on KSRM 920 AM, 92.5 FM, and RadioKenai.com.
And this is KSRM 920 AM. Welcome to the second half of the hour. We're focusing this hour on the race for Kenai City Mayor. It is a 3-year term, one to be elected, and we have in studio the challenger for Kenai City Mayor, Tia Winger, and the incumbent, who currently is the Kenai City Mayor, Brian Gabriel. And a good evening and good afternoon, wherever it is you are listening, and for those obviously here in the studio. So let us go back to discussing issues pertaining the city of Kenai. We had a pretty riveting discussion. We wrapped up the discussion on bluff erosion, and so let's kind of keep that sort of mindset on things and issues happening in the area. So let's talk about waterfront redevelopment. The city of Kenai spent $100,000 on this waterfront redevelopment study. So what fruits can grow from a study like this? We'll start with Tia Winger, please.
Thank you very much. As you heard, we had done a $100,000 study, and that just helped us identify a vision and look at potential incentives that we can offer for development. We got the discussion this last week that showed the option that they went with and the overall cost of that. In this process, we do have a brewery and a restaurant that will be coming in there. And the Port of Kenai actually announced in our meeting that they had sold and would be under, they're looking at developing. And their plan for their property is about 16 acres property. It's the key part of that land. And they want, to put a historic museum in there for the fishing industry so that they can showcase the over 100 years of history that they have on their property. They wanted to put a hotel, condos, and if you've been down there and seen the view, it is absolutely beautiful. And their view for what they're going to build in that 16 acres is going to be such a great benefit to the city. And I look forward to our partnerships with them through that process, helping them with the infrastructure needs, looking at incentives, and giving them the support as needed going through there.
Same question, Mayor Brian Gabriel. The city of Kenai spends $100,000 on this waterfront redevelopment study. What fruit can grow from a study like this? 90 seconds, please.
Okay, so you're right. Administration came forward with a proposal to contract out with McKinley Consulting Group to do community outreach for a vision of what that would look like. So we started about February last year, and this was a funding that I supported because I think it's important that we, if we're going to say we're going to be open for business, that we also send that message through things like this. So what they did is they came forward, did their outreach, came up with three alternatives, finally settled on one that was picked by the group. And as Ms. Swinger said last council meeting, they did their presentation for what that looks like. So the important part of this is, you said, what fruit can come of this? And it already has started bearing fruit, in that the power of messaging can't be overstated here. Once we made that announcement, shortly thereafter, there was a property owner that worked with Cassix to bring them in. Their Cassix Brewery from out north, they're expected to start breaking ground here in the spring. In addition to that, at that meeting, Cheatham Cherrier, who is owner of the Port of Kenai, which is a cannery that is the kind of the crown jewel property in that area, has brought two investors, Troy Smith, who is a developer, to kind of express their support for the work that we were doing. So what this does is it just provides the possibility of a public-private partnership. What can we do to help facilitate the growth down there, but obviously have an anchor business down there to bring things to bring other people and other businesses is just key. So bearing fruit, it is.
So let us change subjects here. You both sort of touched on this subject. Let's focus on this for the next question here, and that's businesses in town. And so just in the last couple of weeks and couple of months and couple of years, we saw businesses leave. The car dealership Kendall is leaving. Granted, it's going to Soldotna, but it is still leaving Kenai. The bowling alley is now officially gone, and Kenai Kombucha left. So what can you do to bring more businesses to town, and what can you do to help create more jobs in the city? Sort of a concurrent 1-2, sort of a punch question. We'll start with Mayor Gabriel.
Sure. So, yeah, it was unfortunate when you look at, Kendall was moving to Soldotna. They're building a business over there. Hopefully we can bring something into that building once they leave. The bowling alley, there was a buyer that bought that building and luckily tore it down. It was in need of being demolished. So we'll see what I'm still not aware, and the owners haven't really wanted to put out sort of their plans for that. So we're kind of waiting for that announcement. But I think, number one, low and stable tax rate. That's what we want to do. We want to make sure we're providing the infrastructure. But then we've got to find ways to bring people to Kenai. How do we do that? Because businesses, most of our revenues are derived from sales tax. So we need to bring people to Kenai to spend money to be in our city. One of those is the that I'm excited about is the Boys and Girls Club land donation and their build out of a campus of a 1,000-member organization. Very important to the youth of the area, not only to City of Kenai, but the surrounding Central Peninsula. But that brings those folks into Kenai. Triumvirate Theater, we have donated land for their next theater build since their old one burned down. Those are the type of things that we can bring people to Kenai to spend their time and facilitate, you know, surrounding communities to come to our city. And that's important to me. So we got to sort of think of these, that's the ROI, the return on investment of how, like a land donation that you look at and says, well, you know, what's that going to do to the city? Is there going to be an immediate return? I think there will, and I think it'll be fantastic.
Same question to you, Winger. What can you do to bring more businesses to town, and what can you do to help create more jobs in the city?
Thank you very much. So I think this is going to be really circulating around our process, our land. We have over 300 parcels in our inventory. Soldotna is running out of land. We are not. And we need to streamline and have a better process of getting that out there. At our last meeting, we did work with Mr. Aaron Swanson on purchasing the agreement for land, and the building that he got was the old car wash there in Kenai. And he has some great plans on fixing that up. And we need to make sure that we're offering support through his entire process, see what he needs, help him with the permitting process. And, you know, it doesn't stop there. We've got Kenai Aviation. I mean, look at Kenai Aviation. That's one of the oldest businesses we have in our city. And when they closed down, the Caldwells came in and they're like, no, we're going to run this and we're going to continue with this dream and this vision. And Kenai Aviation has expanded. They're in our airport, you know, they're offering 4 flights a day to Anchorage and flights to Homer, and, you know, encouraging an atmosphere that has worked very well with Kenai Aviation. And we have land on our airport, and we need to be getting those land leases out, our land sells, and then our permitting process needs to be streamlined and a lot easier for people to work with. And once we can get a streamlined process and get development, we have strip malls, we have warehouse building. That is space that these people need to come in to operate their facilities.
A follow-up to this then, so what's the answer? Land donations, tax incentives, what could the city of Kenai do to help bolster that, help grow and spur some of this economic development? Tia Winger, please.
You know, land donations are great. We've done a lot of land donations, but making we need that land on the books. I mean, we need to be selling that land so that we have tax income coming from it. So continuing just to donate it is not going to be in the best interest of the city. So looking at what is the problem with our streamlined process. If a business comes in and says, hey, City of Kenai, we want to purchase this land. We've got $500,000 to build a new tanning salon. That tanning salon isn't going to be able to get the loan to build on that if we say, well, if you build on this in 2 years, we'll sell you the land. So the bank tells them no right out the get-go. So that's not a very streamlined process, and one definitely that we could look at fixing.
Same question, Mayor Gabriel. What could the city do then? Tax incentives, land donations, what could they do to help spur some of this economic development and this growth that you guys are talking about? 90 seconds.
So I think what we can do is we can take our general lands, which is outside of the airport, and mimic what we did on the airport. If you've driven by the airport, you've seen a ton of investment there, and a lot of that was spurred through development incentives. So if folks went in there, now inside the reserve, we can't sell land, but we lease it. So they could come in there and lease a piece of property, and then we have a 5-year credit. So the amount of money that they use to develop that property can be used for 5 years against their lease payment. So that was wildly successful. You've seen multiple investments over their SOARs, building a SOAR ministry, building a hangar, Guardian Flight. We've got a lot of, if you've driven by there, you've seen a lot of construction over the last 5 years, T-hangers and things like that. So I think we can apply that philosophy to our general land sale. What we're trying to do right now is the first step is that was developing our land management plan, which is essentially our inventory, which would is more user-friendly for folks to go online. They can very quickly have an idea of how much property they need, what it's zoned, what utilities are available, and do a search and very quickly get down to key pieces of property that would suit those needs. And then, of course, have a process that works, a uniform process that gets that hand and let that land into private hands.
And this is KSRM 920 AM. This is the KSRM Election Candidate Forum focusing on the race for Kenai City Mayor. This also is going to be decided on Tuesday, October the 4th. And this is a three-year term, one to be elected. We're joined in studio by incumbent Mayor Brian Gabriel and challenger for the City Mayor, Tia Winger. So let's change subjects here. Let's talk about the state of the city's finances. Are you satisfied with those? The city has to obviously put a budget out every single year, and in the midst of this, not only do you have to do that, you also have sort of like a five-year sort of project window of sort of things that you'd like to do, things that you'd like to see, things that you'd like to accomplish. Are you satisfied with the state of the city's finances? Give me examples to bolster that. 90 seconds, Mayor Gabriel.
Yeah, so I would encourage everybody to be a part of the budget process. It's something we do every year around April. We have usually a long Saturday where we go through the budget process. But what we want to do, and you know, you sort of, you like I said, most of our revenues are generated from sales tax. So that's your barometer. You look at your sales tax revenues. How are we doing? And we've been doing pretty good over the last, from 2019 to 2021, we've had a 16.7% growth in that sales tax revenue. And what I like to do is see these policies that we're putting in place continue that. In addition, when you ask about where can we go or what projects can we see, what can we see included in that, the city needs an outdoor event location area, I think, and Millennium Square next to the Kenai Senior Center would be a great spot for that. How it ties in with the bluff erosion, or once the bluff erosion is complete, I think that's one more thing that we can add to that part of the city that's going to bring people to the city and keep that going. Obviously, our capital projects are important. We got a five-year capital improvement plan that we need to stick with and get those projects done. But we're in good shape. I mean, we are in good shape. We have a $14 million fund balance, and we've put in place fund balance policies that sort of restrict what council can do and how they can spend, and they have to plan for if they draw that down a certain amount. And then we also, one of the things that I put in a couple years ago was an employee health care fund. So every year we have these increases in the health care fund, and what that fund does is sort of act as a shock absorber during the budget process. So we got a lot of good tools in place and continue that.
Same question, Tia Winger. Let's talk about the state of the city of Kenai's finances. Are you satisfied with the state of the city's finances? Give me examples to bolster the finances if you're not.
You know, I think that's a great question. You know, we do have a great finance team that puts together a really solid budget for us every year. My focus would be that capital project list. You know, for 5 years, we've got $100 million in projects. And for me, I would like to make sure that we're taking care of business first, our needs and not our wants. So I'm not going to put a lighted ski trail over our roads. We have Wildwood Drive that's $600,000 short on the project. Let's fix our roads. Let's crack seal. Let's fix our lights. Let's make sure our water lines are not leaking. We have a water rate study that's needed. We know that we've got some piping that's been leaking. We've got a loss. We've got to track that down. Recently at the Kenai Elks Lodge, there was no water key at the main. So if something would have happened, they would have had to shut down water on that entire section of the city of Kenai. So that was something that was identified. And that's, you know, not the only property that has that. So we just need to really look and focus into our infrastructure on our budget, because we, as administration has said in the past, we're pretty close to a sales tax increase, property tax increase. I'm a no on increasing that sales tax 0.5%. I'm a firm believer that we need to make sure we're taking care of business, which is our roads, our infrastructure, our water, our wastewater treatment facility, and then we can start taking care of our needs. But right now, we to throw all this money at just a bunch of wants without taking care of needs is, for me, an irresponsible approach.
So let us transition this into a follow-up, if you will, on some of the more recent questions I've asked, and that is, what do you see as the most pressing issue facing residents of the city of Kenai, and what is it that you're going to do to fix it? 90 seconds, Tia Winger.
Thank you. Right now, just looking around from my work with Office of Emergency Management and CERT is the spruce bark beetle issue. I know right now that we've got almost $800,000 in grant funding that the city was able to secure with a partnership with the forestry. I know the borough has requested funds, but we have got to get out and firewise our community. We are going to be looking at some of those gullies that ultimately would just funnel a fire outbreak through all of our residential areas. Chuda House is another one of interest. Chuda House, if you're not familiar, sits up next to our prison, and there's zero fire break for our elders and our most vulnerable populations. So I really would like to see us continue to look at bettering our properties, making them safe. And then we need to look at residential relief, $200, $400 for fixed income to remove a tree is not feasible for a lot of property owners. So we need to look at some way to help reduce the expense to the property and firewise our community.
Same question, Mayor Gabriel. What do you see as the most pressing issue facing residents of the city of Kenai? And what is it that you're going to do to fix that?
Well, I think obviously continuing our capital improvement plan and those costs moving forward, that we keep funding those, keep our eye on the ball, and make sure those get completed, especially the infrastructure, paving, things like that. And I would say that, you know, just because of the recent news and just the importance of the position, you know, working to find a city manager that will make sure that, you know, follow up on the things that are started, that these continue to get done and get fleshed out. Certainly the infrastructure is a big one. That's something I think we could, you know, work at some state grants for. And a part of our capital improvement plan, 5-year capital improvement plan, is to reach out and get some grant funding for some of these projects. So that would be, you know, sort of tied in together. So
let us continue on here. Let's talk about the role of mayor. And we'll start with Brian Gabriel. Define to me the role of mayor in Kenai.
Okay, so the mayor, what the mayor is they preside over meetings, and they're a voting member of the body, unlike Soldotna. Soldotna's home rule city, but the only case in where the mayor would vote over there is in the case of a tie. So the mayor votes on every piece of legislation before us. We run the meetings, run the regular council meetings, work sessions, things like that. And other than that, which is part of that policy setting that we put in place for the city manager and the administration. And then other than that, the mayor is the official face of the city. So if there was an official function that required a representative from the city, let's say the governor was coming to town, then yes, that would be the mayor's job, would be to greet and follow through with whatever information that particular person would like, or to attend functions outside the city as a representative of the city.
Same question, Tia Winger. Define to me the role of mayor in Kenai.
Thank you. The mayor presides over the city council. They set special meetings, executive sessions, work sessions. Sometimes they'll bring forth items for those that we should be reviewing. A lot of the time with the mayor, it is public engagement. I know if I was mayor, I would be out there welcoming our new businesses. If I heard that a business was struggling, I would go through and ask them what we could do to assist them and help them. Again, it's staying engaged with the people in our community. I'm willing to go out and spend prime days out on the airport if we have a snow plowing issue with our lessees. I'm willing to go out to a restaurant that just came in and greet them and welcome them and ask what we can do to continue to support them.
So let us continue on here. It looks like we might have time for one, hopefully two more questions here. We'll stick with Tia Winger. What makes you stand out compared to your opponent, and why should voters choose you over your opponent? Sorry about that.
Thank you very much. You know, I am young. I'm almost 39 next month. I'm engaged. I've got 3 young kids in our community and our schools that are active within many different youth programs. I've been a small business owner. I am not, you know, I'm not union. I'm not government employee. I came from a family that was single income family. We struggled just like everybody else. My family works hard for what we have. My husband's in construction. We understand the burdens that everyday people in our community have experienced, from our elders to the single mother. I know the single mom. We understand the struggle. We know the struggle of a family with one income. We understand the struggle of families with two incomes. And so I understand. I am you. I am part of this community, and I serve the people in this community so that our voices are heard.
Same question, Mayor Gabriel, and that is, what makes you stand out compared to your opponent, and why should residents of Kenai choose you over your opponent?
Well, I mean, if we want to talk about life experiences, my wife and I, I'm a blue-collar guy. I spent 16 years in construction as an electrician, went through the IBW apprenticeship, and struggle. I mean, there was times where, you know, construction was lean, and we struggled digging through the couch cushions for bread money. I get that. But we have opportunity in this area, and that's what I want to see continue for the young people in this community. The second thing, I think one of the things that I pride myself on is the ability to look at legislation and determine unintended consequences and nuances in that legislation that might negatively affect the folks in Kenai, and either change that or outright reject it. Because I think there's a lot of times that we don't look at those types of things when we pass legislation. And for me, that's important, that you actually, you know, sometimes almost play defense as much as offense when you're doing those types of things. So I think I can look at long-term, what I want to see is a long-term vision, and kind of take those steps to get to that point.
So because we are running short on time, let's go straight to closing statements. I am going to amend this, and with that, I do apologize. 30-second closing statements. I do apologize, but we are running short on time. So close with a 30-second closing statement. Tia Winger, please. Sorry about that.
Thank you. Thank you very much for this opportunity. First off, my values stand with family, God, and country. I represent you. I stand for the people and with the people, and I will work hard. I will come ready. I will engage with the people. I will engage with the community and our businesses. I'm ready to grow this community for the best that we can leave our children and the future generations. And I'd appreciate you reaching out to me, getting to know me, and voting for me on Tuesday, October 4th.
Same 30-second closing statement, Brian Gabriel.
Thank you. Again, I'd like to thank you for hosting a KSRM this forum. And what I'd like to say, it's been a truly humbling and honoring experience to serve the citizens of Kenai for the last 12 years, certainly the last 6 years as mayor. And I promise to continue to work to make this city the best it can be. That as we move forward, we are proud of where we live, and we feel safe, and we feel secure. And, certainly growing the city and making those opportunities available for our young people, recreational opportunities, and also opportunities that may not necessarily equate to a monetary return on investment, but certainly a social return on investment.
And that is going to conclude this evening's election candidate forums on KSRM 920 AM. And that's the Kenai City Mayor race. And that's a 3-year term, one to be elected. Brian Gabriel, Tia Winger. That's going to be Tuesday, October the 4th. KSRM, Seoul.net, Kenai, Homer. ABC News is next at 6 p.m.